Time to catch up with Dave Renicky, Astro Dave, they call him. Check out his website, davidrenicky.com, but I've got the man with us right now. David, hello. It's good to have
good
you
to
back.
Be back. Good to be back with you, Bilko.
Mate, something I've always wanted to ponder but never been game to ask, but you'd be the man. Astronauts who get sick in space, what do you do? If you're up there and you need some treatment, where do you go? What do you do?
That I wonder hasn't been asked before. Look, you don't take your Medicare card with you. It's not going to help you much up there. But what they've done is they're talking about NASA and the people who work there. They do select their people. They do train their astronauts with a certain amount of medical knowledge. And each one of the astronauts has their own private physician here, somebody who knows them internally and externally, pardon the pun, but that they can work out something, a fix if need be, when they're up on the space station. They've got medical supplies up there. They've got a fairly good grounding in most of the basic operations needed to keep somebody in good condition. But when you have a major thing happen up there, a major operation needed, this is where it's going to be a real big issue, big problem. You can't do operations in space. There's no provision for it. You don't have the skills. So what we do have on the space station, not many people know about this, but there is a little spacecraft always attached to it, little Soyuz spacecraft,
oh,
little life raft.
Oh, yeah, right.
A little life raft, if you will. And that's there for a very good reason, always has been, in case of major solar flares. The astronauts have got a safe room in the space station they can go to that'll shield them. But if there's something major on the way, like a collision imminent or something like that, they can jump into that spacecraft and come back home. So if that ever did happen, it would be an issue. Last year, there was something happened on the space station where one of the astronauts did develop a blood clot, and luckily they could solve that with ground-based intervention. But on a long flight to Mars and then further on to the outer planets, we're talking in not months or anything, but talking about years.
I'm sure you're going to need an operating theatre or something as we do those longer haul flights. I mean, treating headaches fairly easy. You can pop a couple of pills, and I'm sure that works anywhere.
Yeah, well, in a burst appendix or something like that, or something similar, a heart attack, some sort of intervention needed there. Yeah, these things will be done in. See, it's all brand new. Okay, we've not been here before. This is a frontier that no human being has ever been to. We're not adapted to it. We're not even remotely close to being assimilated to it. We've got to work in with space. Space won't work in with us. And the conditions there are so harsh. But we've been through that before. We've adapted some of the worst conditions that this planet's given us, and we've been able to survive.
That's
and
right.
Thrive, and I think we will in future here. Yeah. But certainly medical issues, and we know that the human body doesn't fare very well, as we've talked about, in space. But so exobiology and exo-doctors and things like that, it's a brand new branch of medicine that's currently being looked at now, and we're going to develop it as we go.
Yeah, that's a future career, David, exomedicine, and I'm sure there'll be many people taking that on board as we move forward. I've got to ask about this. We're finally going to do something to get rid of the space junk, but it's going to be done from Earth with a laser. Can you explain that, mate?
Let's make sure we understand this. Yeah, it is, but it's not a case of a death ray that some of these experts on Facebook are coming out with. We've got some really good lounge chair experts on Facebook who know everything about everything. It's not that way. It's based in Canberra, Bilko, and that's good because Mount Stromlo Observatory has been through probably the worst time in its entire history. You may remember in 2003, Canberra was razed by bushfires.
Yeah, that's right.
And Mount Stromlo was burnt to the ground and they rebuilt it. So what we've got now is a case where we're leading the world now in the reduction of litter in space, which is a big issue, a big problem. They've now developed a ground-based laser system, and that's working in concert with a group called EOS, EOS Space Systems, working with the Mount Stromlo Observatory in Canberra. There's two parts to it. There's two beams that go out, and they're very strong. The first one is a tracer, and that'll find what the target is they're after. It may be a very large piece of space junk that is probably a collision problem.
Yeah, yeah.
So what they'll do is they'll ping it first, find out its exact position, And with pinpoint accuracy, they could fire the heavy laser. But that's not what you think. It is not a big, powerful beam, some of the diagrams show.
Oh, we're not going to see some mighty explosion with the naked eye that you can see from say, Mount Stromlo or anywhere on Earth?
No, well, it's not a blow-up situation. It's designed to move it and nudge it into a point where it's going to fall back and burn up into the atmosphere. Look, there's no point in blowing another piece of space junk up, because what you're going to end up with, not one piece, but 20 pieces. So, but look, it's good technology. It's cutting-edge technology, and it's Australian. We're employing Australian people.
And that's all that matters, mate. Just get the Australians more involved with the space industry, and Canberra's probably a good place to do it. Hey, couple of anniversaries have been out this week. Yuri Gagarin, 60 years since he jumped into space for the first time, is it?
Yeah, 60 years ago, the world stopped when we heard the news. The Russians never telegraphed it ahead of time. They only told the world when he was about to come back. He made one revolution of the Earth in April 12th. Yesterday in our time, in 1961. And there's also another anniversary to 40 years since the first flight of the shuttle, Columbia.
Oh, how good
April
was that? That made such big news, didn't it?
Yeah, 1981. I mean, this is the first time we've ever had a proper plane, a space plane. And all the testing had been done down here, and up they go, and bingo. This is the one that exploded a bit later on in the early part of the...
Yeah, such a pity we'll never see the space shuttle again. I believe they retired it too early, because they really haven't come out with anything better, have they?
No, it was costing a lot to launch, though. It was very expensive to launch that vehicle, about $1 billion each time they had to launch that. If there was a hold, that hold would cost you $333 billion by dumping the fuel, refueling it, and getting all the personnel ready together. That's why Elon Musk came out with his concept of faster, quicker, cheaper, and better, and he's done it. With the shuttle there, everything had to be refurbished and reused. Those boosters dropped into the ocean, and they had to be pulled out. That took time, money, effort. But Musk is coming back where he landed from, so he just cleans out the fuel lines and refills the damn thing,
Reusable tech is the way to go. It's just awesome. And hey, actually, speaking of tech, David, anyone who's followed davidrenicky.com will notice you're heavily into telescopes, and you've got some really good advice on what telescopes to use. The trouble is, COVID has actually made the availability of these fantastic instruments pretty hard to come by.
You can't buy a telescope. We've been trying to get telescopes for people that have approached me in the past few months, and I just said, look, they're not available. Believe it or not, this pandemic has inspired a brand new interest in astronomy. All the deals that I know of and the people that I know of who sell telescopes have said to me they're out of stock. They've been out of stock since way before Christmas. People have decided that they're cooped up too long. They've got out in their backyard. They thought, well, that looks interesting. I might buy a cheap telescope and look at it. And the telescopes we're talking about are the ones that are in the $300 to $400 bracket. These are the starter telescopes that I like to point people towards. Well, the factory who makes them has absolutely been inundated on a worldwide scale, not only here. So people have just been buying telescopes. Before Christmas, they were the Christmas present to buy. And after that, of course, there's been the close down of industry, and that has caused a non-production period of maybe 2 or 3 months. They're only just starting to get back now. I just saw a photograph of the Chinese. That's where they come from, by the way, Wansheng. There's probably about 300 or 400 on a dock there getting ready to be sent out. But there is if anyone wants a telescope and they're listening to us now and they're thinking of buying one, I'm sorry to tell you, but in Australia, you have to wait probably the next 4 months. It could be that long, before we get started.
Is there any way to actually build one or to jerry-rig one that's almost as good as those $300 ones?
No, you couldn't do it. I mean, the technology today and the precision we've got today is just immense. You couldn't do anything yourself, even if you wanted to. In the old days, we used to grind our own mirrors and then silver them, and put them in a tube. But the quality, you can't beat laser technology. These things are down to very fine wavelengths. Measurements. I'm not into that stuff. I don't know, The mirrors have got to be cut exactly right, and it's done with precision machinery. And you can't do it for the price that you're buying them for now, anyway. Fully made mirror or telescope, but everything will get back together. But it's amazing. This hobby has just sort of taken off like a rocket in the past few months, and there is a very short supply if anyone has been waiting for a telescope.
So I suppose order now and just be prepared to wait, I don't know, 8, 9, 12 months. I mean, it'll be worth
it. Well, it won't be that long. I think 2 or 3 months at the outside. Yeah. You could shop around, but... I've actually done that. I found one place only that got 50 in, and they went within a week.
Yeah, well. Hey, one last thing, David. We are in April, of course. Is it the Leonids meteorite shower? Is that part of it, or Lyrids? What is it?
Yeah, April showers coming your way, yeah. Yeah, we are in a period now where we've got a meteor shower. It's happening up until the 24th. Not a big one. It's just one of those nice ones of the year. Okay, if you've got a bit of time through the early hours of the morning, you do a brekkie show, you can't sleep, you do a bit of work prep, or if you're a teacher.
No, that feeling.
Or you're a shift worker, you know. Mm. Oh, so between 1 and 4 in the morning is the best time in the east.
Yeah, who needs sleep? Who needs sleep, eh?
Yeah, well, look, watch a meteorite shower. It'll do you good.
All right, David, till next week, mate. Thank you.
Talk to you then.